You can be seated. So how are we today? Thanks, Jay. Are you ready to get after it? Okay, we're going to do this over. So how are we doing today? Are you ready to get after it? Okay, good. If you weren't with us last week, we started a two-part series that we're going to wrap up today on enjoying God. And over the last number of years of my life, this has been an area that the Lord has been encouraging me in. I was encouraged as a young guy in this, but there's been a recent resurgence in my own soul of what it means to enjoy God. And I don't mean this just for selfish purposes, but I also mean that God wants us to recognize who He is in our lives. He enjoys you. We looked at a verse last week, Zephaniah 3:17, that He so enjoys you, He sings over you and spins around over you. That's a pretty awesome thing. You know, we don't even do that for each other on birthdays. And God does it for us all the time. And so one of the things I want to talk about today is some practical ways that we can understand how to enjoy the Lord. All right? So if you weren't with us last week, let me give you a quick snapshot of where we were. We looked at Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. He delights in the fact that you understand and know him. He delights in steadfast love, justice, and righteousness. He delights in that. You get God excited when you want to know him more. Do you realize that? You have that kind of impact on the creator of the universe because he has relationship with us. All right? What do the scriptures say about enjoying God? Last week we looked at a slew of them, but let me give you three today. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, oftentimes we focus on that second one because we want our desires, don't we? But it means this, enjoy God. And as you enjoy him, your hearts become enmeshed with one another, and the desires of your heart become his, and his become yours, and it's amazing then what God can do. How about this one? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And yes, it can mean here's God's joy and it can be your strength, but it also means enjoy God and he will be your strength. How about this one from Paul? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. There's again the reality, what we're supposed to rejoice in the Lord, who he is, his place in our lives. It's this reality of delighting in and enjoying God. Do you do that in your life? It's an important thing. So how do you tend to relate to God? I'm not going to go through these. I did last week. But as I was thinking about how, as followers of Jesus, we tend to relate to God, we can relate to him like an orchestra conductor. It's just stay in the beat, and you and I are good. The coach, how about the insurance agent? You just draw on God in times of need. Like a good neighbor, God is there, all right? It's the absent dad. You know, or it's the Santa Claus. It's the other side of things. He's my wish keeper. See? And we end up relating to God in a way that he doesn't want us to relate to him. Now, does he meet needs and is he? Yeah, of course. But I'm talking about, do you enjoy God? So here's what the word enjoy means. It literally means, in the Hebrew Greek, it means delightfully satisfying. Like yesterday, I had a delightfully satisfying moment when Cheryl and I got back from a walk and I realized, hey, the sun's still out for another half hour, 45 minutes. Let's bust out the grill. Shout to the Lord, right? Yeah. And so I said, I could just use a nice grilled hamburger tonight. And I just delighted in that little thing last night. See, delightfully satisfying. Last week, we talked about some of those. My funny moment last week was somebody, when I asked, I said, so what do you guys delight in? And, you know, 5 to 10 of you shouted out things. And one person in the first service said, running. And the next person said, not running. So we all tend to delight in some different things. But it also means, in the original language, hitting the mark. Like it's something, like, you know, when something happens and we use the word sweet, it's like, whoo, it hits the mark inside and there's joy and it's just a sweet moment. That's enjoy. So here's a question. Is your relationship with God delightfully satisfying? Today, I want you to really be honest with your own heart. How do you relate to God? And is part of that the dynamic of enjoying Him? So when we got to this point last week, we started 7 ways to enjoy God, and we spent a little time on enjoying God's character in the Scriptures. There's 7 of them. We just covered one last week, so we're going to buzz through 6 of them today. And by the way, all 6 of these could be individual messages. So just so you know, I'm giving you the high points to just be able to help you be teased to go deeper on your own, okay? But this first one, enjoying God's character, we looked at Psalm 27:4. David, one thing I've asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To do what? To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. When was the last time you paused to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord? When was the last time, husbands, you paused to gaze upon the beauty of your bride? God wants us to be good gazers. And that doesn't mean, all right, that's gazing with understanding and gazing in who He is, what He's really like, all right? Last week, I quoted this to you, and I want you to see this again today. The image of God that you carry around in your heart and mind affects the way you live your daily life. What is that image? I wish I could go like this and all of a sudden, whoop, over the top of your head, I could see what every one of you think about God, what He's really like. For some, that would be really thick and meaty and sound biblically, and for others, it's more thin, and we let others dictate, particularly the enemy of our soul, defining what God's really like. But that image that you carry inside of you, it affects everything. How you see others, how you see yourself, decisions that you make when you're in difficult times. Like what Calvin and the crew led us in today was awesome. But see, the way that you're going to make that real in your everyday life is because you know that He is a God of war and He fights on your behalf. That's the thing that rises up inside of you in those moments. If we don't know God like that, then we're going to miss out on that. I showed you a slide last week of some examples of the attributes of God's character, His names, titles, and attributes. I showed you in my Bible how I've highlighted in purple every name, title, and attribute of God. So when I open my Bible, regardless if I'm having my devotions, I'm sharing it with someone else, I'm message prepping, His character screams at me. Because I need to have my mind continually be renewed about what He's really like. And I just want to remind us that from the moment you were born, the enemy of your soul has tried to do everything he possibly can to hinder you from seeing what God's like. He wants to distort the character of God, disfigure it so you can't see what He's like. But that's why He's given us the Scriptures, so we can dig in and see, this is what He's really like. To enjoy God, it's essential that you see what He's really like. So about a decade or so ago, I met Jay, all right? Before I met Jay, I heard some good things about Jay from other people. So I could go into that going, I heard he's really a faithful guy and he's diligent what he does and he can be counted on. But until I got to know Jay a little bit, I didn't know his passion for volleyball and his skill, by the way, that goes with that. I didn't know how he could masterfully help steward an entire church like this, which he does, by the way. How his character is faithful. He's one of those guys you can count on. When Jay says something, you know he's going to do it. Well, as I get to know him, guess what? I can enjoy him more. If I don't know him, I can't enjoy him as much. I just kind of hear about it. Sometimes we get used to our society virtual enjoyment of other people because we're fans of the Nashville Predators. We think we know all the Preds. You know, Arvey, he scored a goal. And Pekka, first name basis, Pekka. We don't even know these people. But we feel like we do because we watch them and we cheer for them. But God wants us to get beyond a place of knowing about or seeing someone do their work to the place of actually knowing them. And in this case, knowing Him. Because He wants us to enjoy Him. But You've got to know him to be able to enjoy him. Are you following me? Thank you. All right. So let me give you the second one here. So the first one is enjoying God's character in Scripture. Second one is enjoying God in worship. Enjoying God in worship, just like we got done doing this morning. Now, just remember that worship isn't only singing songs. When I was a young missionary, we were taught that work is worship. That every morning you can go to work with the attitude of being in awe of God and bringing him adoration. Try that tomorrow. Go to work with the attitude of worship. It changes everything you do and how you look at it, all right? But when we look at worship, I just want us to understand it's not something we just do at church. So when was the last time you just worshiped God when you were by yourself or in your family? See, worship isn't just meant for here and it's the worship team, pump me up, you know? It's actually meant to be something that's a normal part of our lives. And God wants us to enjoy him in worship. Before coming here this morning, you know, one of the ways I get myself in the presence of the Lord is I put my headsets on and I like to play certain sets of music. And I have my worship intimacy, worship warfare, worship celebration and like that I can listen to. But see, one of the things that we often do in worship is we focus on what can I get out of it. Do you know, and God wants you to because it's relationship. So when you are reaching out to God, he responds. That's why in worship we sense his presence sometimes. It's God responding to us. But always remember that worship first and foremost is not, did I get something out of it? Well, the band didn't get me there. I didn't really like the songs. The measure of true worship is, did you get something out of it? We have to always remember that. Did God get blessed by our worship today? And when he gets blessed, he responds. And that's where we sense his presence. All right? So let's remember that as we talk about worship. So what's the scene in heaven like? I want you just to see how worship is surrounded with this whole understanding of the character of God. Look at Revelation 4 and 5, just some pieces of it. And I've underlined for you here names, titles, and attributes of God. Each one of these could be sermon series on. All right? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth, wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Like when you worship, connect the dots of the lyrics that you're singing. Like hopefully this morning as we're singing that, now there's nothing wrong with enjoying the tune and the beat, and there's nothing wrong with it, don't mishear me. But as Calvin's leading us, are you also paying attention to the words that you're singing? Like this is the last song. You can put that next slide up. The last song that we sang, Everlasting God. Look, these are on the left. These are the words of the song. And on the right, I just put some of the scripture verses that are attached to them. But look at all the attributes that the worship team led us into. Did you take the time when we got to, you are the defender of the weak, that you said, that's where I was this week and you did that for me? See, that's when you connect to God and worship. It's not just, I like that, Calvin, play that one again. It's more than that. Is there anything wrong with that? No, but go beyond that and say, God, would you help me as I'm singing the song? Like if you've been meditating on God as your shepherd and in a song that week, there just happens to be a song about shepherd, you can say, yes, you've been that to me. And it reaffirms your understanding of who he is. See, worship can be so much more than, hey, worship band, get me out of the place I am and into the presence of God. Look, they do a great job of that, but do you understand if each one of us becomes awesome personal worshipers, what it's like in here when the worship team strikes one chord? Shoop, it becomes an amazing thing. God wants you to enjoy him in the place of worship. So let me just give this to you in case you haven't run into some of the expressions of worship, just to make it practical, and don't make it rigid, because like as Calvin was leading us today, we're going in and out of thanksgiving and praise and worship, and that's fine. But just practically for you, thanksgiving is giving thanks for what God has done for you. Praise has to do with who God is. So it could be yesterday, Lord, I want to thank you that I got to grill out yesterday. There's my thanksgiving for something he had, was kind to let me do. But then I can say, praise, I praise you for your goodness and your kindness and your creativity in the way that you made that day. Thank you. See, that takes you a different place of worship. And worship is both awe and adoration. It's both reverence, holy, 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 and affection. Do you know one of the words for worship means to kiss towards God? It also means surrender and delight. So worship is that place of just standing in awe. And God wants you to enjoy that place of worship. So can I just ask you the question, don't answer me now, I just want you to think about it. Did you go there in that place where you actually enjoyed God, or did you enjoy the music? Is anything wrong with enjoying the music? No, not saying that. But I'm just saying, in the midst of it, God wants us to enjoy him. You are the words and the music. You are the core of that. And I want you to know I enjoyed being with you, Lord, this morning. Amen? Let me give you a third one here. Enjoying God in his creation. Enjoying God in his creation. Look what Romans 1 says, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and their divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. And I like this, Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. So my daughter and her husband are expecting a baby very soon. And she sent us a picture, one of those panoramic views, you know, of the nursery. And it's like already, they got the little boy's name on the wall, they got the picture of mom and dad, and I mean, it is ready for this little guy to arrive. Do you understand that as God made us, he created a playground called Earth for us? Have you ever paused just to look around you? Like, look at these ideas here in this next slide. Let's do the next slide. There we go. The beauty, purpose, and produce of the land. Like, when was the last time you just paused to say, this is an amazing thing? Like, my grandfather was a northern Minnesota farmer. And he knew how to take the land God had made and to create stuff out of it that we could eat. See, Lord, thank you for food, for what you've given me. But Lord, I praise you that you are the original gardener. You're the original farmer. You made this land, so all we gotta do is drop stuff in and whoop, stuff comes up, pretty amazing stuff. Have you been awestruck recently by that? How about animals? How God made animals? I one time drove a rhinoceros nuts in the Honolulu Zoo. Wilma, you'll like this, all right? Honolulu Zoo. I'm standing there. It's just me. I'm 20 years old. I just walked through a difficult situation. I was taking a few days off. And it was just me and the rhino. Nobody was around. And this rhino was just kind of, you know, walking around looking at me. So I did this. I went. He looks up like this. I'm going, it's on, you know? And I just keep doing it. And before I know it, this thing is getting all lathered up, pacing back and forth, you know? And it's just me and God and Rhino. And I had this, and I could imagine God just looking at me like, what are you doing, son? But God has made things. How about the ebbs and flows of waves? Rivers, waterfalls, like just everybody wants to go, right? God made that because he knew there was something that when you just sit there and look at the waves and you listen to them, that they actually wash over your soul. He made that for you because he knew you would like that. How about the incredible world of sea life living beneath the ocean? In Hawaii, the state fish, Huma Huma, Nuka Nuka Apawa'a. It's about as long as the name, all right? And when you go snorkeling and you see under, like, do you realize underwater there's just as much vividness and brilliance as there is above it? When was the last time you just went, wow, wow? He made it for you so that he would put a smile on your face, so it would be delightfully satisfying. And how often do we blow right by it? The creation we see above us, hills, the mountains, birds of the air, again in the sky, the daily majestic rising and magnificent setting of the sun. Like, we see that every day. That's part of the problem, isn't it?
There it is again.
Like, I'm 58 years of age, and the sun's gone down every day and it's come up the next. That's the problem. It's come up today. Look at it going down today. He made it. The artist, God the artist, painting the sky. Sure, always reminds me, wait about 10, 15 minutes after the sun sets and look at the clouds. Like, he wants you to pause and go, that's awesome, and to connect it. God the creator, God the artist, because then you're connecting it to who he is, which lets you know him more. How about this one? The incredible expanse and countless stars in the sky at night. Isn't it amazing? I mean, God, it says he knows how many there are and he calls them by name. Hey, Freddy, fall, you know? I mean, God calls them by name. That's an amazing thing. How about the wild thunderstorm and better than fireworks lightning shows that we're treated to? Some of you like to do that. You like to just pull up on the porch when it's all coming down and all happening. It's an amazing thing to watch. And then God gave us our five senses. The ability to see things, to hear sounds, touch, smell, taste buds. Isn't that awesome? Like God said, I'm gonna make you enjoy food by putting these little bumpy things on your tongue. I want you to see that God made us to enjoy his creation. And just in case you come from a place spiritually, well, no, you're not supposed to do that. Listen, denying self in the Bible does not mean not enjoying the things God made. Denying self means denying selfishness. That's what it means. So don't think, no, I can't enjoy, you know, a good Titans win, or I can't enjoy a good steak or a piece of, no. Your Father in heaven actually made things for you to enjoy. Now, can we get self-indulgent and not pay attention to other people and lay our lives down? Yeah, that's when the denying selfishness comes in. But don't be thinking God made this beautiful, incredible playground or nursery for us and doesn't want us to take it in. Can you hear me? It's one of the ways God wants us to enjoy him, to be fascinated with creation. All right? How about the fourth one? Enjoying God at work in others. Have you ever just paused to watch God working in and through other people? Look what the scripture says. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for what? His good pleasure. Like, one of the greatest ways I get to enjoy God is when I watch people and God doing stuff in and through people. I was picking on Judd. Judd was standing up about here. I think he probably went home now to take a nap, all right? I've known Judd, he's pushing 80 if he's not 80. And I've known Judd since 1978, 79. So I was 18, 19, and Judd was whatever. And we were both missionaries with Youth of the Mission. And when you watch Judd worship, it just puts a smile on my face. And I gotta think God is just like, that guy rocks. And I watch God do stuff. And let me give you a list of thoughts here on this. Watching God intervening in people's lives. Like, where's my new friend Trevor? Wave at me, Trevor, wherever you're sitting. He's in the back there. So Trevor comes to me this morning, and he had kind of a rough day yesterday. He came up to Shel and I during the prayer. He said, I had a rough day yesterday and was just thinking about not being here. I was here last week, and he said, I was just being stunned by how beautiful the Bradford pears were. And he said, just yesterday I turned off the road so I could take pictures. Well, he had just happened to turn on the Facebook Live link when I was talking about, in the first service, how amazing the Bradford pears are right now. And the Lord said, you need to be there. God intervened in his life in the midst of what just happened a few hours ago. Do you pay attention to that? Do you go, God, you are the divine intervener. You're the redeemer. And you connect the dots. But see, most of the time we just blow by it. And you're going to hear me say this several times a day. Don't stop at God's hand. Go back to his heart and his character. And attach it. Realize this is God working on someone's behalf. I'm getting a front row seat. And enjoy it. Enjoy what he's doing. How about when God comes alongside those who are hurting, in need, or grieving? We've all experienced in our lives and others where God blesses people beyond their imaginations. I can't believe this happened to me. Do we ever stop and say, and we recognize who is behind it? And how long he had been planning it. Do you realize there's some things in our life that God has right here, but he keeps it tucked here until the right time? I'm not going to get into the whole story, but Cheryl and I had a situation like that with a puppy that our kids wanted, and we couldn't say anything about it, didn't feel it until we brought it home, and it was like the surprise of their lifetime when they were little kids. And the Lord used that to say, I've got many of those right here before you. Stop crabbing about stuff's not being on time in light of the word we had today. God's got lots of things for you right here. He's just saying, I'm letting you walk through this because I, you know, the question isn't, can we trust God? The question is, can he trust us with what he wants to give us? So he walks us through things to help build trust capacity in us. How about this? God using ordinary people in absolutely extraordinary ways. What an amazing thing. I just saw yesterday, they were honoring the USA curling team. Is that not an amazing story? Like, were you aware of this? Like, they went to the Olympics, they barely made it, and they lost their first two games. And then they won the gold medal. And everybody's scratching their head, like Norway's supposed to, Canada, all these teams are awesome. And these four guys from my home state of Minnesota, they win the gold medal. And some extraordinary stuff happened in a couple of days through these guys' lives that everybody's going, how did that happen? I love when God intervenes and steps in and the extraordinary happens. But do we ever connect those dots? God gives you a front row seat to your friends, to your relationships, to news stories that we can just go, God, I see you behind it. We've got to let God take off these glasses and get us a new set so we can see his hand in situations. Are you with me? That was kind of weak. How about when God displays his splendor through people's gifts? Like, you know, Calvin, thanks for sharing your gift with us. You do a great job. Not only just being the guy up here that can sing, but you write stuff. And then today, you led us into the presence of the Lord. Thank you. Not everybody can do that. But see, we need to recognize people's giftedness. And just like I had a front row seat literally today to just watching God pour himself through Calvin. Connect the dots all the way back to your Father in heaven. It helps you get to know him. How about this fifth one? Connecting the dots in your own life. Do you connect your dots in your own life? Look at Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship. The word there in Greek means poem. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And you know this one. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Not some things, not once in a while things. All things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Look to connect the dots when God is working on your behalf. Look to connect those dots. For example, how God brought you to himself. How God brought you to himself. Like, when was the last time you just paused to go, that was an amazing thing, how he did that? Or what God's been doing in your life now to help you get free or to grow in the things of God. He wants you to see that. How about times where he's rescued you from a situation or maybe even from yourself? Have you had those? Moments when he just blessed you with the desire of your heart. And that's where we got to say, well, wasn't that just fortunate? No, it wasn't. That's just a coincidence. Only if we view it as God's coinciding events. Do you recognize that? precious flock of God, we've got to start letting God reveal to us these things because he wants you to enjoy him. Don't walk into heaven going, oh, there's Jesus, but you feel like there's no familiarity there, if you know what I'm saying. You want to go, there's Jesus, I know. Because you know, it's like you've been, you and me, and now it's not walking in faith, it's walking in sight. It's going to be a glorious day. But see, so often, and don't make that the moment when God says, I really wanted you to enjoy me a whole lot more. Now, he's probably not going to go there because he's not going to go there. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But I want to ask you, do you regularly take the time to enjoy God? People often ask me, well, how do you get to know the love of God? Well, start with the scriptures and allowing that to take hold of your soul, what it talks about. But secondly, it's recognizing these things. It's recognizing God moving on your behalf. And sometimes it's just fun stuff. There's been times I've had desires in my heart and people didn't know. And I didn't even know that I would have articulated a desire, but all of a sudden God opens the door and the next thing I know, there I am at this event or with this person or whatever. And I'm going, how did this happen? Connect those dots. You have a Father in heaven that adores you, that loves you, that wants you to enjoy him. But to do so, you got to see him moving on your behalf. How about this next one? Sowing you into relationships and strategic places. How many of you are grateful that you're a part of the family at Grace Chapel? Okay, now, we all have stories of how we got here. And when I ask people, hey, how long have you been at Grace? X amount of time. How'd you get here? Well, it was a friend of a friend of a friend's uncle who da-da-da. It's like, what? It's like, well, I just happened to be driving by one day. Like, have you ever just paused to go, God, how did you get me here? And connect the dots and say, Lord, you are the captain of all strategery. See? He sows us into relationships. He sows us into strategic places for our enjoyment and for his purposes. Connect those dots. Give him thanks. And connect it to attributes of his character. How about opening and closing doors to tip his hand to where he's leading you? Now, let me just say this while we're here. Not every open door is a door you're supposed to walk through, and not every closed door is a door you walk away from. Otherwise, the gospel would never get to nations that said, you're not welcome here. Missionaries have lost their lives in nations because they still went because God said to go. But there are times, the majority of times, that God will open and close doors. Well, do you recognize that? Or you just go, well, you know, I lost my job, and then I was so lucky the next day. Or do you recognize, so God, you had this in mind all along. You knew that, right into worship there, friends. See? So pay attention to those places. Are you recognizing and enjoying his character behind his hand? All right, two more. Number six, enjoying partnership with God in prayer. Look at 1 John 5. This is one of the very first verses I learned as a kid. And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. Do you understand that prayer is agreeing with God? Do you understand that's really what the core of prayer is? It's saying God, it's knowing God's character, who he is, it's knowing his ways, how he does things, and then it's asking God, what are you wanting to do in this situation? And it's praying towards that. See, it's not just meant to be, well, Lord, we give, because our prayer life sometimes becomes a wish list, isn't it? Well, I just wish this would happen in this situation, and so, Lord, I'm bringing you my wish list. No, God is saying, look, I want to partner with you in prayer. I'm going to show you a little bit what I'm going to be doing, and I'm going to ask you to join me in that thing. So this word tells us here in 1 John, it says that he wants to show us his will. So let me illustrate this for you. I told you last week in Hawaii, and I was with my Youth with a Mission family there, and David Hamilton, who's now one of YWAM's leaders, him and his wife Christine were friends of Cheryl's and mine and continue to be. We just don't see each other as often. He's a leader in YWAM. And he told this story. They started a new Youth with a Mission missionary base in Chile. And they pioneered this a number of years ago, quite a while back. And they started a discipleship training school, which is 3 months training of discipleship, and then you go for 2 months somewhere in the world on outreach, and you share your faith, all right? So they start this school. Well, they go down. It's a 12-week training time, and David, he didn't fully know the culture and all that yet, but he budgeted short on the food. Not good when you have a bunch of students, and it's 12 weeks, and you only got food for 9. Whoops. So he went to the Lord, and he said, Lord, what do you want to do? And the Lord said, I want to show them myself. So they prayed. So he just went. Could you imagine getting up that morning? Hey, morning, everybody. Hey, where's the breakfast? Well, about that. And he got everybody together, and they say, Jesus, we need you to provide. Knock on the door. They open the door. And there's a lady with breakfast for everybody who had traveled for 2 hours because Jesus asked her to make breakfast for them. So they enjoy the breakfast. Then when they're done with breakfast, lunch. What about lunch? So they go back to the Lord. I felt like the Lord led me to provide lunch for you guys. Do you know that happened 3 weeks in a row? And people either brought meals individually or they brought enough for 2 meals and nobody said a word to anybody. Wow. Do you think that might grow your faith? See, we have to remember God is able to do things and provide for things. He's always got another agenda, and his agenda is making you more like him. His agenda is revealing more of himself to you, and that's why when we... You know, when we run out, well, if I don't get the money for outreach, I'll just put it on the credit card. What if God says, would you just put your credit card back? I want to prove, like, how often do we not let God prove himself because we've got convenient tools we can pull out? And God may want to prove himself to us. And when we go to the place of prayer, just know we need to learn to wait on the Lord, listen. God, what do you want to do? And then it's agreeing with him. And then when you watch God bring an answer, again, it causes you to know him more. It causes you to worship. It causes you to love him more. Let me give you a last one. Enjoying living fully in the moment. Hey, Abby, why don't you come on up this way? So let me read you this verse as Abby comes. Look at, as Jesus went, the people pressed around him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. And immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, who was it that touched me? When all denied it, Peter said, Master, the crowd surround you and are pressing in on you. Like Peter's going, hello, there's lots of people here. And Jesus said, well, someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Do you know Jesus was the master of being situationally aware, fully present in the moment? And it's something that oftentimes we don't do well. You guys, are you familiar with that movie, Up? Remember that movie, Squirrels? Remember the dog, every time squirrels walk by, Squirrels? And we have to realize that we are living in a world of tremendous distractions. And it causes us not to be situationally aware to the moment that we're in. And when you read the life of Jesus in the Gospels, he was situationally aware of where he was, who was around, what the needs were. But oftentimes, look at this statement, our lives can subtly default to being more about pursuit rather than presence. We're pursuing our agenda. We're pursuing our end. We're pursuing what it is, the task we need to do, and we forget to be present. And when you live fully in the moment, fully present, that when someone's texting you, you realize, you know what? I can get back to them. I'm fully present here. And not to mention what that communicates to people. Hey, Jay, sorry, I got a, it's like, what, chopped liver, you know? But this is often how we do things. And just be reminded, God's given us technology. It's awesome, personally and for the advancing of the kingdom. But the thing we have to remember is you either become enslaved to it or it serves you. So I have all my notifications off. I have my texting and my phone. That's the only ones that come through. Why? Because I know it's there and I'll go get it when I want to get it. I'm not going to have it dictate my relationships. Maybe we just need to close in prayer on that one, right? But I'm saying technology is a wonderful thing, but it can also hinder you from being present in the moment. So I want to share a story as we close on this. So this is Abby Sargent, by the way. Would you welcome Abby? So I just want to share a story that was a moment that both of us were fully present. And we didn't even know it at the moment, and we didn't know it till afterwards. So September of 2015, just give them a little background of where you were and what you were doing on that particular day.
So September 2015, I was walking through a pretty serious sickness, and it kind of reacted in my body like a virus, so I couldn't keep any food down, and I lost 21 pounds in 3 weeks kind of thing. Mm. So that particular day, somebody had told us that I should try to get up and like go for a walk in the morning just to get my body moving. And so I was downstairs and I was trying to put my shoes on, and I was just like so like emptied and like at the end of myself, like we didn't know what was wrong or anything. And so I was trying to put my shoes on, and I had just gotten to the point in praying where I didn't even know like how to pray. And so I just said like, God, I don't think I can do this anymore. And that's like all that I had. And so I got my shoes on, and my mom was there visiting, so she went for the walk with me. So we went out and we were just walking down the road.
So as she and her mom were walking down the road, I was out for a walk. At the time, I was walking like 3 to 4 miles about 5 or 6 mornings a week, both for exercise and just to kind of clear my head and talk to the Lord. As I turn the corner on this particular street, I see this lady and her daughter. And it was a little cooler morning, and I remember, you know, the daughter having her hands around her coffee cup like this, warming them. And as I walked by, I just said good morning, and I kept going. And about 20 or 30 steps down the path, I felt like the Lord said, when you come back, I want you to stop and talk to them. I didn't hear it in my ears. I just knew in here. And it was like, okay, well, I remember looking to see if they were even still there. And I walked down the path, and I said, Lord, when I get to 2 blocks and I turned around at the corner and I come back, if they're still here, I'm in. And so that happens. And I'm now on my way back. They're still present. And so they were on the sidewalk, so I stepped into it's a side street on the street, just a step ahead of them so they could see me stop. And I turned towards them, and I just said, I know I already said something to you. I already said good morning. And that's about all I said. And then what happened?
So I had, like, my head was, like, completely down. And so I had, like, seen the tennis shoes, like, come back around and stop. And when he started talking is when I looked up, and you said, I just feel like I'm supposed to tell you to trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your understandings, and he's going to direct your path. And I just, like, burst into tears.
And so, you guys, listen, that was a moment I wasn't expecting when I went out for a walk that day, and neither was Abby. But she was living full in her moment, I was living full in mine, and God did a work in Abby and her family, and wouldn't you know it, about 2.5 years almost later, she's now in a discipleship group of 4 young ladies who are here at our church that my wife is discipling. So God had something even bigger in mind. And one of the things that we must always remember is live fully present. Don't miss out on what God's maybe trying to reveal to you and how you can be used by his hand for his glory. Can you say thank you to Abby? So I want to encourage you this week, live fully in the moment. Why don't you stand with me, and let's just put that slide on that shows all the summary. You guys, we could spend lots of time adding to this list. You could add to this list. But the spirit and heart behind it was just to begin to give you some handles on how can you begin to enjoy the Lord. And if you're just going, Dave, I'm just not even close to that. Someone said that to me today. I'm just not even close to that. Begin by opening your Bible and start highlighting, underlining, whatever you want to do, the names, titles, and attributes of God's character. So you begin to see what he's really like. What he's really like. And that you begin to take some of these kinds of suggestions and you begin to pause and you pay attention to what God's doing in someone else. Connect the dots in your own life. Pay attention to creation, that he actually made this for you to enjoy. And when you're enjoying it, he takes pleasure in it. I can't tell you how much I enjoy being with, I told you this last week, my 3-year-old grandson, Baron, when he's enjoying the moment. It could be trying to hit a baseball. He likes to go to Chick-O-V-A. He likes Chick-O-V-A because he can see the cow and he can get a little gift, a little present. So Chick-O-V-A, that's where he wants to go. And so it makes me smile that he wants to go to Chick-O-V-A. But see, you have to understand, this is how God responds to us. We are his kids. And he's given us an incredible playground. And he wants us just to be able to, he gave it to us, yes, to enjoy, but also so that we would go, oh, you're the source of all this. So that we could go deeper in relationship with him. So today, Lord, we thank you that you've invited us to delight ourselves in the Lord. You've invited us in the midst of challenges that the joy of the Lord is to be your strength, that you want us to delight and enjoy you. And if this is you, don't go there if it's not, but if it's you, just kind of agree with me. Lord, we repent for the times we've missed this, where we've just let life blow right by, and there are the squirrels, so to speak, that are here and there, and our eyes get in other places, and we have neglected you. And we've neglected the reciprocal part of the relationship of we know you enjoy us, but we haven't often taken the time to enjoy you. So Lord, would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear this week as we leave this place, that we might be able to move into a greater relationship with you, that we might be able to enjoy our God and who he is. Now, if you just look up at me, I just want to pray out. Numbers 6 gives the high priestly prayer blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a good day.